The rain in Spain, it is not what it used to be. That sound familiar? Well, thanks to both his interest in garden design and his encyclopedic knowledge of the great Hollywood musicals, we sent Tim Entwistle to pick the mind and garden of famed Spanish landscape designer Eduardo Mencos. Now, we join them at La Lancha, Mencos's own version of an 18th century ornamental farm, a place where beauty is meeting a new environmental consciousness.
What we see is lots of olive trees. We see some conifers, we see lavenders, we see local plants. Could you just explain the sort of ethos behind it?
The central idea of this place is based in a philosophical idea of the French that is called ferme ornée, which it means farm in beauty. Everything that you do, it should be beautiful. Everything that is practical for the farming and also for the gardening should be in a relation of pleasure to the view also. And the idea is just to respect nature and to enhance it, to make everything that is there already, to make it more visible. Like, for example, we have a rock far away. And the idea, before you couldn't see it, I open an alley, so I make it stronger. The views, no? The views to focus what is interesting.
Yes, and as you say, you've got these lovely manicured shrubs here, but also you're taking in the olive plantations, which are all around the house, and you've got the cork oaks, which you're planting back in, and the native wildflowers. But you're not scared to add in Italian cypresses, and you've got the teucrium, I think, that you've pruned over here, the lovely grey bush, and it's part of the beauty of it.
I tried to simplify the colours that I have there already. Like the olive trees is in relation with the floor plants that I have. This is teucrium, which is grey, and it's the same color than the olive trees, so they match well. And the Artemisia here, it's also has a very nice relation with the olive trees.
Yeah, so the Artemisia, which is the wormwood, which we do grow in Australia, of course, as well, but again, the same kind of color.
Yes.
Well, tell me, that leads on to the question about gardening in not just Spain, but I guess worldwide, where you see trends in gardening. Is that something that you're doing as an individual or that you see reflected in other garden designs?
Well, I think there's a certain movement that is common to all over the world. I mean, at the same time that we globalize and we have plants coming from anywhere in the world, and they're very easy, you ask for them online, we are looking for roots. Well, our roots, you do it in Australia and you are obsessed with getting your native plants and developing. It's happening like in our lives in both ways. I mean, we with food, with cultural matters. What is unique of my history, my family, my country, my whatever, and I look for that.
And you did visit Australia, I know, 10 years ago, and yeah. We were talking at a landscape conference then, but also looking at many Australian gardens. In Australia, I think we look to Spain a little bit in terms of our future climate, because we know it's getting, places like the southern part of Australia getting drier, hotter, yeah, and becoming a little bit more like some of the places probably near where we are here, near Madrid almost.
That's right. I mean, I felt that not only when I went there, because I had some Australian visitors very interested in water saving and having plants, which, of course, our culture is much closer than England in that sense, not because we've been practicing that for 20 centuries. Climate, I mean, we have changes, but when the Moors were here, with the Romans were here, they were already thinking how to save water. We didn't have no more. And to use water, which is, I think, something as a part of the pleasure of the view and of the experience of gardening, it's probably in most of Australia the same experience and the same need than here. You know? and getting 90 plants that support very well well dryness. It's of course our it's a common experience. I think we are very similar in climate for most of the areas.
So many of the plants here, I think you're quite right, could be grown in Australia. There's one that I know is a bit of a favourite, the olive tree. And given that you're about to write a book on it, it's hard to ask you a short question about the olive, but what does the olive mean to you?
Well, the olive tree is somehow, I think, the best way I could find to tell the history of humanity almost. It's in the Bible. It's in the Quran, it's in the history of the Mediterranean world, and it's a book that tries to go in the roots of the history of a tree that expresses so many things. It talks about the resurrection. It's the hardest tree that you can find almost. It recovers so well from the fires. It always gives you something. It's generous. And it really generates. It can live for. I've seen a few weeks ago a tree that was 3,000 years. Extraordinary, and develops in every country in a very different way. So I think it's just a fascinating tree, you know.
The other thing I notice that here, you've got olives that are not particularly old, but even as a young tree. Each of the trees in front of us is different to the other. There's no two trees in front of us that look the same.
That's it. They have a personality that it seems that they want to develop their own way, each one. No? So I have here 2,000 olive trees, and they are all completely different.
We'll have a quick look at the garden, and I'm interested a little bit in stevia, because stevia is a sugar substitute that's becoming popular in Australia. I know you've got a bit of a passion for it.
Yes. As I want to really live in the country permanently, I just thought beside gardening, and I want this to be profitable, and at the same time, I want to be involved in something that improves life of people. I have diabetes. So I got involved in just getting acquainted with something that, because I need sugar in my life, I need sweet people, I need sweet in my food.
So. Yes, we all do.
No. Well, the thing is that I got involved in researching about substitutes of sugar. I found out that someone who's a neighbor who was already diabetic and who was thinking about the same thing. So we have started a company that is starting to produce. We cultivate. We are the first producers in Europe. Actually, it's very small for the moment in Europe, but I think in the future it's going to be big.
We're now walking out into what on the side looked like just a typical olive grove or rows of olive trees, but here we're on very closely mown grass with very neatly trimmed hedges, and we have some Italian cypresses popping up in between and lavender down the side with wildflowers in the distance, and sheep leading down to a gate that takes us to a very large rock. As we walk down here, Eduardo, what's the feeling you would get as you come down here? Are we going somewhere, or are we just here to enjoy the garden?
It's a window. I mean, the idea is that from the house, from the dining room, from every space in the house, you have this window to the landscape. So the landscape comes into the house, and this was before with an arrow of olives. So what we did is we took one of the lines and we opened the view to see the rock, which is the main feature here, no? The La Lancha, no? What it gives the name to the farm.
Ah, well, what La Lancha means?
It's a big rock.
A big rock, okay. And it is a big rock. This could be, perhaps in Australia, a big rock in the Strathbogies is where I most could see a rock like this. But the whole garden leads down to a very large rock through a beautiful gate.
Yes, so that's the focus. I mean, it's the highlight, and you can see it from the house. So what I'm trying to do is to channelize the views, to highlight things that I think are interesting. Like I opened there in between those oak trees, the windows, so you can see from the house also, like windows. It's very easy, very fast to do it. You just cut. What is interesting? And you just cut it. It's like getting a pencil and, I put this in the view. I have this enough space. And I didn't want to get the feeling of a garden. I just wanted to feel that we are in a farm, but with a certain beauty, you know.
Yeah, and tell me if this is a very large garden, a big farm. If someone has a small courtyard, and I know you've done gardens inside ruins and pits and all kinds of things, is there a different approach you would take in a very small area?
I like the idea of having excitement. I mean, that you have things happening, no?
Yeah.
You have the spaces where different feelings and emotions happen. I mean, I feel, because I've been in film, that a garden should be like a good story, no? Things should happen, and not only in the space, but also during the months of the year, of the seasons. I mean, I know people, and it happens to me, that tell me, well, I want to go to my garden because I don't want to miss the flowering of this or that. The emotion of something that every year is different. So this emotion that things are happening all around and every year is different, it should be this intensity, like a film. A film needs to get the tension that you can't avoid waiting for the next meeting, because you can't say any moment, maybe I should leave. No, because I want to see what's going to happen in the next scene, in the next step of that garden. No?
So that was Eduardo Mencos at Le Lancha, which is his sort of 18th century farm reconstruction, really. It's at a place called Yarandilla, which is 200 kilometres west of Madrid, the middle of what used to be tobacco growing region, and now, if Eduardo has his way, perhaps stevia cultivation as well. Absolutely beautiful place.